In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. My Lord, my God, I firmly believe that you are here. We can all say those words to Jesus right now, present, under the form of bread, but very humble, very close to us. We thank you, Lord, for bringing us here this evening. And don't doubt it that it's Jesus who wants us here, who brought you here, because he wants to spend this time with you, with me. It is a time to listen to him, Lord. What do you want to say to me? Help me learn something, to pick something up from you this evening. As we turn off the noise and are able to listen to you, what you want of me in my life, what I need to change in my life, the help that I need to be the person you want me to be, and we can beg him. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. My brother, this is the time to come to him, to bring your needs to him, the needs of your family, the needs of your friends, the needs of our country. Many years ago, Saint Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, wrote in a book called The Way, Christ died for you. What have you done for Christ? We're in the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We're going to celebrate this month. Also the month of Corpus Christi, the feast of the body and blood of Christ. We give thanks for the Eucharist. But with those words, Christ died for you, what have you done for Christ? Saint Jose Maria was trying to stir up an indifferent person like me, like you perhaps, to make a step forward, a decisive step, to begin to seek Christ in our life, to begin to find Christ, to begin to follow Christ. And he encouraged people to carry a crucifix in their pocket that they can look at it, remind themselves of what Jesus has done for us. It's a sign of how much he loves us by dying on the cross for us. Christ died for you. You, Jesus, died for me. What have I done for him? He's trying to make a point that Pope Francis and Pope Benedict have both repeatedly tried to make, that Christianity is not about formulas and dogmas and rules and things to do or learn to do, do's and don'ts, condemnations. But Christianity is really about meeting a person. A personal relationship with someone. Getting to know an amazing person. The most amazing person. And entering a relationship with him. A relationship of friendship. A real relationship. And until we get to that point, until we realize that, make that discovery, we'll always be just limping along, more or less good, more or less bad, but definitely unsatisfied with my life and what God has to offer to me. And even more, Christianity is discovering that Jesus is not a figure of the past, that Jesus is not a historical figure, a dead white male or dead Semitic male, important but dead. No, Jesus is alive. He rose from the dead, and he is our contemporary. He's alive as much as you and I are. And he sees us and he hears us. That's on Easter Sunday when he appeared, the week after Easter Sunday. He knew exactly what Thomas had said, even though he didn't seem to be in the room at that time. He sees us and hears us as God. And even more, that Jesus desires greatly to enter into a personal relationship, a friendship with you and me. The thing he wants most is a relationship of friendship with you, with me. He desires that. And so often we turn a cold shoulder to him. That he wants to be that friend that you need, that friend who's the closest one to you, who shares your innermost concerns and worries, that friend who shares your heart where you're most alone with yourself. That's where he wants to be. Giving meaning to the ups and downs of my life, a roadmap to how to live a good life. He wants to be there to help us live a successful life, to accompany us through this life, and then into eternal life, forever in heaven. That's what Jesus wants. But today's gospel shows us the problem. Explains the problem we all have. There's a special gospel today for this feast of Mary, Mother of the Church. And it's from Genesis, the beginning of Genesis. After Adam had eaten from the tree, the Lord called to him and said, "Where are you?" He asked, "I heard the sound of your voice in the garden," Adam replied, "and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." "Who told you that you were naked?" God asked. "Have you been eating of the tree I forbade you to eat?" The man replied, "It was the woman." So is the woman. "Who you put with me in the garden, she gave me the fruit, and I ate it." Then the Lord asked the woman, "What is this you've done?" The woman replied, "The serpent tempted me, and I ate." But then the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, be accursed beyond all cattle, all wild beasts. You shall crawl in your belly and eat dust every day of your life." The devil told Eve that God was deceiving her. That if she ate of the tree, she would become like God. The deceiver said, "God is trying to keep you down. Don't trust him. She should rebel to get her freedom, rebel against God, and she'll be set free." And in a wonderful encyclical by John Paul II on the Holy Spirit, he talks about the devil as the sower of suspicion. He sows suspicion about God. that he's not a father who loves you, that he's not one who's going to seek your best. You shouldn't trust him. He's holding you back. You will be like gods if you disobey. Disobey him and you will be set free. And it's the perennial story. Here we are in your presence, Lord. It's the perennial story of man relying on himself, trusting himself, and the ruin that follows. And then he comes to fear God, hide himself from God, run from God, instead of discovering God as his father, as the one who really loves him, as his maker, who desires him to have eternal life. And as man runs away from God, he lives in the chaos of sin, committing sin and denying that we sin at the same time, harming ourselves, getting caught in a morass of trouble until we despair. And that's what the devil wants, because he hates mankind. He's the deceiver. And he wants us to despair. And he hates the fact that God loves us so much and has given us so much and seeks so much our good and eternal happiness. And this attitude of suspicion of God holds sway among so many people today. God is trying to take away our fun. He's trying to take away my freedom. I know better than him what's good for me. I don't need him. I know what I want. I know how to be happy. I don't need to listen to him. He doesn't even know me or care about me. How can God tell me what to do? I can make my own choices. Thank you. And we leave God behind and go our way. We isolate ourselves from God, lost in our own troubles and things and trying to do it ourselves. And we can't do it on ourselves, on our own. We need his help. We can't make it through our life, through marriage, through the difficulties on our own. We'll burn out. And our Lord says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Turn to me. I can help you. And we isolate ourselves from God, meanwhile turning all sorts of other things into gods and popes, some professor, some author, perhaps gold, some theories, some pleasures, my laziness, and we follow them. No one, everyone has a god, everyone has a pope. If anyone tells you they don't, they're lying. Maybe just their own pleasure. But Jesus has come to set us free from this slavery to all these things. And it's never too late. It's never too late, he says, here tonight. It's never too late to turn to me. No matter how long it's been, since I've prayed, since I've been to confession, since I've really turned to him in prayer. Doesn't matter where we've been. What matters is where we end up. We can have wandered very far from the Lord, but the thing that matters is where we end up. We want to end up with this friend in his embrace. And that's what he wants too. And that's why he's here tonight. That's why we're here tonight. In this month of the Sacred Heart, a devotion that began in the 1600s, when Jesus appeared many times to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque in France and asked her to spread devotion to his Sacred Heart, his heart aflame with love for mankind, but so often a love that's spurned. Let's pause for a moment and think. Jesus himself said that he would remain in the bread, in the Eucharist, to be our food. At the Last Supper, he instituted the Holy Eucharist and told them, "Do this in memory of me. As often as you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have life in you. You become one with me. And I will give you eternal life." And it's incredible that God has wanted to stay so humble in a piece of bread, in our tabernacles, so that he could be close to us, so he could be our strength and our spiritual food. And he's done this, he's humbled himself to this extreme for us, that he would be overlooked and scorned and neglected in an old church, mocked and overlooked and profaned, like recently those thieves broke into that tabernacle at that church in New York and stole the tabernacle and broke it open and left the hosts scattered all over the floor in the dust, ran off with his tabernacle made out of gold and silver. What does it say about this God? Would you not trust someone who lowered himself so much to take this form, to be available to you and me, so that we can receive him into us, so we can go and talk to him? Who's not moved by a God who's so humble to make it so easy for us to find him on every street corner almost, who lowers himself for us? How could someone spurn such a heart? How could someone fear such a love? We can tell him, "Lord, never again." We can tell him, "Increase my faith. Thank you for your great love. Help me to love you more." It can make us just want to spend a few minutes every day visiting him in the tabernacle, listening to his words every day a little bit, reading the gospel every day, and letting those words penetrate and sink into our heart to guide our lives. Because otherwise, our lives are going to be guided by the noise outside. It can change your life if you stop to listen to him a little bit every day. He's there. It can change your life. Stop running, stop hiding from God. Let him find you. "Lord, I want to be found by you tonight. I want to not hide myself, but look for you. Because I can trust you. I don't want to trust the devil. I don't want to trust myself. I trust in you. You made me for heaven, for glory. Why would I seek anything else?" And then we have a God who's ready to forgive us, who's eager to forgive us. Peter asked him, "Lord, how many times should I forgive my brother in a day? Even 7 times? Jesus said, "Behold, I say 70 times, 7 times. And then he went on to tell the parable when a king decided to settle accounts with his servants. When he began the accounting, a debtor was brought before him who owed him a huge amount, a huge amount. Since he had no way of paying it back, his master ordered him to be sold along with his wife, his children, and all his property in payment of the debt. At that, the servant fell down, did him homage, and said, "Be patient with me, and I will pay you back in full." Moved with compassion, the master of that servant let him go and forgave him the loan. Forgave him the loan. Forget it. I'll forgive you. That huge amount, it wasn't just paltry, it was a huge amount.
And Jesus is telling us, this is how God is with us. He offers us an abundance of forgiveness. How can you distrust a God like that, who's eager to forgive us? Why did I turn more to our Father God? Why did I run back to Him more frequently asking forgiveness? What kind of dreadful God is this? He offers an abundance of forgiveness to all who draw near to Him. Where do I find such a friend on earth as this God of ours? Hopefully we'll find good friends on this earth, but their inspiration is in God who forgives. The world needs, and each one of us, my brother, we need this love flowing from the heart of Christ. The world desperately needs this kind of forgiveness. Each one of us needs that forgiveness. And what's the problem today? It's that many people simply do not know Jesus. They simply do not know this great friend. They've never met Him. This great heart. They're captivated by the modern great drug of constant entertainment. No matter what problem you have, just turn on the Netflix, turn on your YouTube videos or whatever you want to watch. It's all there. We can just bury everything. Bury all of our troubles with constant entertainment. Or some other drug seems to be more and more popular. They don't face up to their sins and go to the one who can forgive them and begin again. They don't face up to the seriousness of their life and eternal life, which is really serious. And the devil wants us to forget about that. We need to take our life seriously. It's a divine adventure and a mission. Either we find this friend and follow him, or we get swept along by the fads of the culture into a hell of nihilism with all its attendant despair. This is serious business too, here in your presence, Lord, because people have to discover Christ through us. That's our mission, to make this love and mercy and joy and peace of Christ present in our homes, in our places of work, in our communities, among our colleagues and our friends. This is the challenge, that people haven't met Christ because they haven't met Him in Christians. And this is the adventure that Jesus invites us to, be my friend and make my love present in the world. Others need to meet Christ in us, and we have to start. We can't give what we don't have. That's our mission as Catholics. And it's not just about giving lectures. We have to show them Christ with our deeds, with our understanding, our forgiveness, our service, our friendship. People will know Christ first through Christians. And that's our mission. That's how it works. And He's looking at you and me right now. He's here. And He says, come follow me. Walk with me each day. Listen to me a little each day. Let me show you some tricks. We can tell our Lord if we want, Lord, I want to commit myself to this friendship with you. Now, that's what it comes down to. It's not just about rules. It's not about certain behaviors. It's about getting to know Him and meeting Him and being loyal to Him and not deceiving Him and responding to His love. And we don't have to wait till we die to meet him face to face because he's here with us now. Out of love for us. Lord, we can tell him, I want to commit myself to this friendship with you, to really to meet you in the scriptures, to meet you in the Eucharist, to meet you in the sacraments, to meet you in my prayer. Show me the way. We have to end. Christ died for you. What have you done for Christ? That's the only question that really matters in life. Everything else is going to fade away. And we're going to want to know, what did I do for Christ? How did I become a friend of his? That's the only friendship that really matters. Everything else is going to pass away. St. Jose Maria on the Feast of the Sacred Heart wrote, Jesus on the cross, with his heart overflowing with love for men, is such an eloquent commentary on the value of people and things that words only get in the way. Men, their happiness and their life are so important that the very Son of God gave himself to redeem and cleanse and raise them up. Who will not love this heart so wounded, a contemplative asks? Who will not return love for love? Who will not embrace a heart so pure? We who are made of flesh will repay love with love. We will embrace our wounded one whose hands and feet ungodly men have nailed. We will cling to his side and to his heart. Let us pray that we be worthy of linking our heart with his love and of wounding it with a lance, for it is still hard and impenitent. During this month of the Sacred Heart and the Feast of the Body and Blood of Christ, let's ask Mary to help us rediscover this friend and make him truly our best friend, our most dear friend. And let that friendship guard my heart and guide my life. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you've communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help to put them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.